The Little Smokies are a band that I associate more with out west. I don't mean by that west coast, but certainly from the middle of the country and then west from there. Around much longer than you might have thought. I'm going to talk in the second hour to Matt the Rev Rieger, guitar player with the Little Smokies. I saw them first at a live concert in Grey Fox Bluegrass Festival, and this was 2017, and I was just absolutely taken aback by their stage performance. Had some of their music from a live recording done earlier, and the live performance that I saw, I think, is typical of what they do, and it's just second to none. They have a new album out, Changing Shades. We're going to hear Matt the Rev Rieger, guitar player with the Little Smokies, a very, very impressive band. I'm really happy to have joining Unreal Bluegrass today, Matt Rieger from the Little Smokies. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing well. How are you, Steve?
Doing great. Listen, I had music from the band from the 2014 release. I think it's live at the Top Hat New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And so I've been playing that in the rotation of the show before, and I really wanted to see the band. First opportunity I had to see the Little Smokies live was at the Grey Fox Bluegrass Festival this year. So, and we were talking right before we started this recording that I positioned myself up on stage so I could start the evening watching the Little Smokies perform. And I was absolutely, I don't want to say it's just energy because people confuse it with a lot of action. And I'll say passion. But, boy, that was a phenomenal, phenomenal set. And I think the crowd went nuts when you guys were playing. I don't think they wanted to let you go.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal festival, and we were honored to be a part of it. And we really flattered by the audience response and the reception we were given there. It was a real treat. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like to go into a festival not knowing all that much about it, so that I can, you know, come in with no expectations,
yeah.
And you're generally really surprised by how cool it is. And Grey Fox was one of the truly surprisingly good festivals this summer.
I will tell you this: it's a very hip crowd. I'm not saying other festivals aren't, but I've been there, I don't know, maybe 6 years, and the crowd's very receptive and very open. And if it's good, they let you know. And I'm telling you guys, I wish everybody could have seen this because you absolutely, you just had them. It's the main stage where I saw you. I know you were roaming around other places, but the main stage, when that's kind of like the big field is full in front of your performance. And not only did they love it, I thought you guys really loved it. I think your performance live is just, maybe that's why the last album is live, I don't know. But your live performance, I want to talk about the members of the band of the Little Smokies, is just, it's just captivating. I mean, it really is. I see a lot of live music, but this, I kept thinking, wow, every time you guys would hit another high note, and I don't mean that musically, but hit another high point in a tune, you could just do it over and over, and the audience was I really thought it was a great set, really did. I'm real impressed with the band. The band, the Little Smokies, I'm talking to Matt Rieger, what you have a nickname, Rev, which I don't use that often. I can use it if you want me to, but I'm going to call you Matt. But you.
Oh yeah, I've been called whatever you call me. I've been called worse.
I'm going to call you Matt unless you want me to call you.
Yeah.
Matt. All right.
No, Matt's great.
All right. The band is. I know that last year, the Little Smokies won an award from IBMA, and that was like Momentum.
Momentum Band of the Year. I think you nailed it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, just so the people know, this is not a band that you are. This isn't like you just showed up. And I want people to understand this is not just a bunch of musicians. The band has been around for a while. You played Telluride
at least 8 years.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So and you were telling me that before we went on the air that you're West Coast. You're in the state of Washington, correct?
Yeah, more or less. Strictly speaking, I'm homeless, but I wander on our breaks.
Okay.
But Western Washington will always be my home. I should say I'm houseless.
You're in between houses.
Yeah, have been for a while. Don't really plan on changing that. I like to go wherever I feel like when we get off tour because it can sometimes wear me down quite a bit.
I want to talk about what you bring to the band, which is a lot, and the other members of the band, but I also want to say this. If people look at the Little Smokies easy enough to find, I would type in Little Smokies Band, and you're going to get to the music reference of Little Smokies. There's all sorts of products that are Little Smokies. But your schedule, and I'm glad you're taking a break. We talked about this briefly, Matt, before we went on the air. Your schedule is just, I mean, once you guys get rolling, I'm looking at the schedule on the site for the tours. I'm thinking you guys just go and go and go, which means this. You're in high demand, and you want to make sure that you please the people that want to see you and that you're available, which is great.
Yeah, and we're so excited and grateful to be a part of what we're doing. Always hoped it would happen. Never planned on it, but it has. We've always wanted all our lives is coming together.
Yeah.
And we're so grateful for the people that are coming out to the shows and buying the CDs, buying the shirts, and telling their friends. It means so much to us, and we thank all of them.
Well, I mean, if as often as you get out, everybody can see you somewhere, and I saw it. I was fortunate to be able to see the band, and I'm still I left Grey Fox saying that's the band that I want to watch in the future. And
that's very, very kind of you.
It was great. Let's talk about the band because I like to bring
sure.
everybody into it. Matt, you play your guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and. Talk a little bit. Are you a native of your now homeless situation in Washington? Or are you from that part of the country?
Yeah, I grew up where I'm actually at my parents' home, the home I grew up in Arlington, Washington.
Okay.
Which is depending on the day and time, an hour or so out of the city, out of Seattle, on the north side, and grew up there. Spent some time in San Francisco. Went to college in Ellensburg, Washington. But yeah, I'm Washington. Washington born, Washington bred. When I die, I'll be Washington dead. I think is the line.
Okay. I've never heard that. I guess that could work for every state. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
I
stole it from somebody. I didn't come
okay.
up with that one.
All right. And you mentioned, let's talk about the other members of the band. The three of them are sort of in Missoula, Montana. But so let's talk mm-hmm. about the other one first that you said is in California.
Colorado.
I'm sorry. Starts with a C.
Yeah.
All right. Colorado.
Mm-hmm. He lives in Denver, more or less. He's also, strictly speaking, homeless.
Okay. Well, people should come see you guys so you can generate and get and find a home. Let's help the Little Smokies find a home.
We can maybe get some milk cartons too.
All right. Tell me the name of the person in Colorado.
Jake Simpson.
Okay.
And he joined, we met him in February of 2016, and he joined a couple months later, I believe. We met him at a music festival, just like, I met the boys at a music festival, and they really are, every one of them is kind of a home for us. Whenever we get to festival season, it feels like you're coming back home because you could talk about music festivals, you can write a book about it, you could make a movie, but you're never going to really understand what a music festival is like until you go and see how much fun and how exciting it is. And so, like I said, festival season is just a boost of energy for us, and we love it so much.
I've actually been in Missoula, by the way. I was going,
yeah.
I forget where I was going, Montana, but I remember the sign as soon as I was looking into the band. So who's in Missoula that I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the band?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Scott Parker, the bass player, he lives in Missoula. Matt Cornetti, the banjo player, and Andy Dunnigan, the dobro player. They all live there and have for some time. Originally, we're from all over, but I believe the three original members have been there for at least 10 years, I think,
wow.
in Missoula. So it is certainly home for them.
Do you, and all I have by reference, Matt, two things. Your show at Grey Fox, which was mm-hmm. different stuff, and then I have the New Year's Eve Live 2004. I do not have the self-titled one from 2013. I know they're on the website, but here's the thing that's interesting to me is in the same breath that with Little Smokies you might hear Sister Golden Hair. You're also going to hear, and I play this song pretty much not every show, but Money for Nothing. And I'm always wondering about the influences where you guys pull music from. I know you write a lot of things, but mm-hmm. how does the band Little Smokies? How do you put together not just a show, but But where do you draw your influences from?
Yeah, right now, if I were to speak for the group, I would say we're all listening to a lot of, like, Dawes out of L.A., I believe. My favorite band and probably the biggest influence is the Barr Brothers. And to answer the question, really, it's all over the board, the influences that we have. And I think that most people can say the same, that you draw from a number of different styles. You learn the traditional methods of the style you want to play.
And then you branch out.
And then you go out from there. So we're all big fans of bluegrass, traditional bluegrass. And every once in a while we do get to play it, and it's a real treat. But they say you can't be an abstract painter unless you can do a portrait.
Right.
And so understanding that tradition and kind of paying homage and whatnot validates, I think, the progressive side of that bluegrass.
Yeah, good point.
It does for me. When I go see a group, you could play, all across the board, original music, however you want. But when that bluegrass band comes out and does that, ding, 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 the hillbilly stomping, and they pull it off well, that's the icing on
that's
the cake.
That's the start of it, I think that's the touchstone. Everybody that's been on this program, and everybody goes in different directions, or not, I mean, but they can. The touchstone is always that, what you're talking about, is having that main influence that then informs what you're doing from there. And then if you hear other music, and everybody does, you can pull those influences in. And you did another tune. The band did another tune in the Grey Fox set that I saw that was a not a traditional, but I don't remember what it was. But I kept thinking, I forgot. I totally forgot. I should have asked you this, Matt, before we started. But
I'm trying to remember what we did. It might have been...
I knew that was
always something there to remind
you. Yeah, exactly.
Which I believe is a Burt Bacharach tune. Made more popular, I believe, in the 80s by Naked Eyes. And those are fun. A lot of those started off as just jokes around the campfire, such as, we do Goodbye Stranger and that one, and a few other tunes that really we were just kind of, dinking around, having fun, trying to make each other laugh a little bit. And somehow, some way, they just make it into the set, and we decide to go with it. We all have a lot of ideas, sometimes too many, and so you do have. There is a filtering process. Some ideas don't make the chopping block, but we do try to entertain whatever people have to bring, because worst case scenario, we give it a shot and it doesn't work out. But when people have ideas, we try to. Try to make them happen.
I do. And energy, I'm going to get away from energy, let's just say passion for the live set, because I don't want people to think it's just like real frenetic, although there is a lot of power that comes through the band in your live performance. But it's mostly, I tell you what, and I from the sideline, I see this. You guys communicate a lot. Now, on this program, we talk a lot about band members performing live, because I really think that's where the real stuff happens. If you've got it, you can do it live. But I do notice that within the Little Smokies, there's a lot of eye-to-eye communication, which makes me think this. You're not going to get up there and just wing it, but there's also a little bit of flexibility as you're performing. In other words, as you're communicating, part of the conversation of live music is you may extend things out or you may not. But am I correct on that? I kept thinking I saw things where you guys would look at each other and you would know what to do or what not to do.
Yeah, a lot of the times it is fairly composed music, not a whole lot of completely open form.
No, you don't want to do that.
But a lot of that, I think, is, for me, it's sharing the experience with the band, like reminding ourselves, like, hey, this is fun. Look what we're doing.
Well, you did. It did look like you were having fun. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I think
it comes down to gratitude for me. I've worked a lot of jobs that I don't care to return to. I've been in spots in my life where I really don't want to return to, and then when I step on stage and you see the folks cheering and their smiles, you're reminded of how grateful you are and how lucky you are to be a part of what we're doing.
How did you, let's back up a little bit, Matt, to you becoming a guitar player and before you picked up the moniker Rev. What drew you to playing guitar? What drew you from out in the Washington State area into bluegrass specifically?
Yeah, well, I think it all started at Wintergrass, which is a bluegrass festival.
Oh, sure.
In Bellevue.
Oh, yeah.
A really fun one. It's bizarre to go to a festival in a hotel. It's a bit of a, it confuses me a little bit. But then once you're used to it, it's fine. What I like about it is that it provides you with a temperate climate, comfortable chairs, and really facilitates a lot of jamming. And so you have world class players playing 24 hours a day for 3 days, and a range of there's gypsy there. There's some swing stuff happening. It's fairly traditional, but they do deviate a little bit.
I've never been there just because it's so far from me. I'm back in Kentucky, but it's one that I would always like to show up and experience.
I played drums until 2011. I'd always played guitar, but never was a guitar player. And I was playing snare drum and hi-hat with a kind of folky gypsy group there at Wintergrass. Just a pickup gig. They asked me if I wanted to come along. I'm walking around these hallways, and I see all these circles, and they're so musical, and they play for so long because they all know these standard tunes. So you have people from all over the world that maybe don't speak the same language, that might not, never met before, whatever. Yeah. And you can sit down and have a musical conversation for hours. And there are some jazz elements to it in that you have this melody that you pass around. And so that was where I was at the time. And that was appealing. So I borrowed my buddy's guitar and made a fool of myself for about 6 hours and decided that it was something I really wanted to get into. Shortly after that, I gave up on playing the guitar in bluegrass circles because it's hard. It's a lot of work. The dobro is what I like to play when I'm doing traditional picks because it's louder, easy to hear it, and then also you're not expected to play quite as much on the dobro. It's nice. It's a kind of a laid back job where do some chucking, play a solo, but you're an auxiliary member in many ways as a dobro player. Certainly not the case with Andy. He's an integral part of the band, but played dobro for a while and then got back into guitar when the Smokies asked me if I was interested in the job, and I was at first kind of hesitant. I didn't want to leave the Seattle area, and then I realized that if I stayed here, I would probably keep doing the same thing, playing a lot of the same clubs, the same people, for an indefinite amount of time. So I jumped on it, and it was an opportunity to be a partner in a group instead of an associate.
Yeah.
Prior to the Smokies, I really have just been a hired musician, not a band member.
Well, Matt, when you switched then from, and you talked about drums, guitar, dobro, back to guitar, were you initially, because of the drumming you were doing, and did you come at the guitar from a Django Reinhardt perspective? I mean, did you have a song?
No, I never played much jazz guitar.
Oh, okay.
I only played jazz drums, really.
Okay.
You
mentioned gypsy jazz at Wintergrass, and I was trying to see what that.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I do love Django Reinhardt and Errol Rosenberg and the Gypsy Pickers. Mm. They're a little too good for me. I
they're good for everybody.
It's hard.
Yeah,
they're just too good. But I do love that music. Wes Montgomery is my favorite jazz guitar player. It's just as cool as it gets.
Have you ever really studied his technique? He's from Indianapolis. He and his brother were in a band in Indianapolis, not far from me. But it's like he doesn't do anything. We're kind of digressing here first, so the listeners are going to have to pay it. Just kind of wait. Matt Reeves and I are talking about Wes Montgomery. His whole style and everything was not before. I mean, it was like what he did. His right hand, all the stuff that he did, and it was not like something he was patterned after in my opinion. I just thought he kind of came up with a whole
new
way.
No, it's a totally unique style. Yeah. And I've heard that he had a corn on his thumb, and that was a part of his playing. Is that true?
I don't know.
But he was unique. He was hip. He was cool.
There's a great new release.
Started late in life.
He did. There's a great new release. It's an old recording, of course, but it's a live. It's an all live set, and I can't remember if it's in Indy or where it is, but it's a really neat. They keep finding these old things and re-releasing them. And if you just look up Wes Montgomery, the most recent release of an old recording, it's really nice because it's a lot of him, and you'll get a kick out of it. I can't remember the name of it, though. I didn't think we were going to go to Wes, or I looked it up first. So.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that was going to happen either, but love that guy.
All right. I am a big fan. I want people to know. We talked a little bit the other day while we were thinking about doing this. Is there an album planned? And no, nothing specific, but, I mean, do you think you're going to have a new release coming up anytime in the whenever?
Yeah, it's actually getting fairly specific.
Okay.
I can't say the exact date, but it should be in September.
Okay, good.
We'll have a new album called Changing Shades. And I think we tried not to get too literal with it, but Changing Shades is a pretty solid theme for the past more or less 2 years. Mm-hmm. Three original members have gone. They had an interim guitar player, and he stepped down. Jake and I have stepped in. So there's been quite a few people involved in the evolution of this band. And we love all the former Smokies, and they couldn't be better friends and more excited about it. And we love them so much. I think right now is the lineup that I don't see changing, and I really hope it doesn't. I would like to just stay here for a little bit and let us, grow this project.
Matt, on the new CD, which you're hopeful to be released in September. Two things real quick: are you guys going to be at IBMA this year in Raleigh?
We will not be at IBMA, and I can't remember what we're doing. Okay. I believe we're on tour.
It looks like you're scheduled.
Comatose and Mipso.
It looks like you're real busy around that time, and I thought if you would, it would just be a short. But I looked at the schedule, and I thought there's probably no way you're going to be able to hit that in that part of the country. And secondly, the new CD, then, is it going to be studio live or what?
It is in the studio, and we recorded it fairly live, as in all of us in one room.
Okay.
Andy sang in the other. He was isolated, so we could get a vocal guide.
Okay.
We overdubbed the vocals and then added some stuff. There's some, as our producer put it, ear candy, some studio tricks that we have in there. But it will still be. We tried to make it, and I think the engineer put it this way. He wanted to capture a moment, not create a product.
Okay.
And so that was the goal all along, and it worked out really well that way, where we it meant that we had to, more or less, all of us had to play it perfectly all the way through.
Yeah.
So, that's a different kind of pressure, but it worked out really well. And I think we got a pretty, at least when I listen to it, I feel like you're listening to the band in a room.
Do you have a name? Do you want to give away a title or anything like that?
Yeah, Changing Shades.
Oh, you did say that. You said Changing Shades, and I thought you were just describing changes in the band. But you're actually, I'm sorry, I totally missed that. You said Changing Shades. Do we have a label yet?
No.
Okay, but when it comes out, they can go to the same Little Smokies website and probably get all that information, correct?
Yeah, I can't say for sure, but I would think iTunes as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And I hope that it's on Spotify and other streaming sites as well fairly soon. That's not my area of expertise.
I understand.
But I can tell you that we will have that up available online, at least on our website, as soon as we release it.
Okay. Good enough.
And then certainly at all our shows. That's where, we love so much to be able to go out and, sling some CDs and see people and meet them and let them know how much we appreciate them coming out. Because it really is, it's the lifeblood. because we would have a lot of fun on stage if no one were there, but it really is a cooperative and collaborative experience.
Wow.
If the audience has to be reciprocal, give back, we'll give to you, you give to us, and we'll make it happen together. That's where the real live magic happens.
I think it is. I think magic's a good word for what I saw at Grey Fox and what I've heard on some of the live stuff. Really enjoyed it. I'm just telling you, it set my whole evening right where I wanted to be, and that set it off at a high level for me. And the rest of the acts following, I wanted to see them too. But I really, that's why I was clamoring so much as you guys were coming off stage. I forgot who I got the card from, and I was like, I got to find somebody to talk to. So that's why.
Oh,
thank you. That's very kind of you. Yeah, I set the wheels in motion then to try to set this up. So I appreciate your time. I know you're busy. You got stuff to do. So Matt Rieger, Rev from Little Smokies. I'm gonna follow you guys. I'll find you somewhere. It may won't be for a while, but you're on the road so much. I know our paths will cross, and I'll make sure that I stop and say hello.
Yeah, I hope sooner than later.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Take care, Steve. Thank you.